one of the members of the speaker committee, Joe or Larry, during the break or after the meeting so we can contact you as a 10-minute speaker. Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Sally C. from San Diego.
Good evening. My name is Sally, and I'm an alcoholic. Thank you, Kirk, for inviting me to be a part of sobriety, taking part in my sobriety. I've never been to this meeting. I've heard a lot about it, and I understand why. I can feel the energy and your vibe and recovery. So in addition to the Bikram-like yoga atmosphere that I feel right now, for those of you who know what I'm saying, it's rather warm in here. So, all right. Okay, so what it was like, what happened, and what it is like now. I just have 10 minutes. I sketched something out because you don't want me rambling for a long period of time. So what it was like. Well, first of all, I want to welcome the newcomers. There are a few that announced as newcomers, and anybody who else that is determining whether or not that's your seat or your place here in AA. I didn't come to AA because I was going to stay. I was just going to be a temporary until I got people off my back, and then I was going to be out. So congratulations to those who actually said, you know, I'm a newcomer, and I'd also like to congratulate the token takers, Lawnmower Bill, Kathy, and Andrew. Taking tokens is huge, and whether it's 3 months, 6 months, 29 years, it's a big testament to what we do as far as living in sobriety and living in the solution. So my spiritual toolkit tells me today I'm at 8.9 years of sobriety, 106 months, and some odd amount of days and whatever. What that means to me is I could not manage 3 days of sobriety in a row before I came into these rooms. And before that, I was able to accomplish a lot of things in my life, and I'll touch on that in a moment. But 3 days of sobriety consecutively, it just was not happening for me. The third day, in fact, if you ran across my path, probably was not a positive, very positive experience for you. So the definition of white knuckling, I get it. So what it was like, I was the youngest of five kids. I learned very early on that in order to be seen or heard, you had to speak up. And you had to be the last child remaining on the mama's lap. And so I remember at the age of 4, shuffling everybody off the lap, and that was one of my first memories as a kid, getting my mom's lap to myself. And my alcohol, my story isn't like most in that I did not start when I was very, very young. However, I would encourage you to do what my sponsor always tells me to do, which is to listen to what we have in common versus looking at the fact that my story might be a little bit different. There are pearls of wisdom that are out there, whether it's myself or Kirk's story, that you're going to hear, and hold on to that. When I first came in, I was at the Alano Club in Oceanside, and there are some Harley driving, smoking hooligans that were not any a part of me, that I thought, those men saved my life. I kid you not. Those men I love, and they saved my life. And they hold a special part in my heart. So what I learned is I became very much a praise addict with my family. It started with my mom with the lap, and then it went on to other things. So I didn't, again, pick up or drink or use at an early age because I saw my brother crash and burn with drinking and using at a very young age, and I realized, ooh, that's not a good plan of attack right there. But I did realize getting good grades, cleaning the house, being perfect on the outside won a lot of praise from my mom and my dad. And so that drove the insanity. That drove the insanity. So I was a very good liar, and I lived two very separate lives. And I didn't do failure, I didn't do second place, and I didn't do this thing called progress, not perfection. Progress was not part of it. So I was very successful, what I thought to be successful, living a double life, growing up in high school, was successful athletically, academically, was the first child to go to college, of course, first child to move out of the house, of course, and proceeded to go on and get my degree and a couple more advanced degrees, of course, and was miserable. And I was still living this very perfectionistic, very isolated, dark. I was emotionally malnourished, and I still had not crossed that line yet in my 20s and early 30s into alcoholism. There's a part in the big book that describes me. It's on page 33, and it says, to be gravely affected, one does not necessarily have to drink a long time. One does not necessarily have to drink a long time, nor take the quantities some of us have. Actually, I'd argue with the quantities part of that because I caught up in the 5 years that I did drink. This is particularly true of women. Potential female alcoholics often turn into the real thing and are gone beyond recall in a few years. That was me. When I first saw that, I went, dang. Like someone was like helicoptering me and saw that what I was doing, and they wrote about me in this book, and then someone said, you know, Sally, it's not about you. This book was written a few decades ago. And then I thought, okay. So again, it being about me. So what ended up happening after I married my college sweetheart, everything was going as planned on the outside, and he was a perfectionistic person also. So we lived there were four people living in our home. Two of me, two of him, and we just kind of inched along. I don't know if that makes any sense whatsoever, but we were together for 15 years. So imagine that quality relationship. So we each had our own things going on, and I could not finish a second glass of wine. That's how not a drinker I was. But my body image was an issue. I had to be perfect. I ran and did sports perfectly, or tried to. I achieved in my job and had to become not just a teacher, but teacher of the year, and then administrator of the year. And I was chasing my tail, and it was exhausting, and there was never any relief. Finally, what happened was I got a divorce, and I never saw it happening. Or coming, and it actually kind of saved my life now that I think about it, because it forced me to have to be uncomfortable. And for the first time in my life, I had to address all the secrets, all the issues, and my lack of not being perfect, like outside of myself and outside the committee that was going on in my head. And everybody said to me, we didn't know, you guys look so happy. And it was just like, whoa. And that was kind of like the emotional bottom for me. And then what did I do? I tried to find myself for the next year, and while I was finding myself, I married the first person who came along, and that was douchebag number two. And so poor guy, we picked each other, so douchebag also married a douchebag, and it wasn't a good match, and we were in conflict. And that's when I picked up and started drinking at him because I wanted him to die and to disappear. And he wouldn't. He just kept coming back. And he was the person who actually said, you need to go to an AA meeting. And I would sit in the parking lot, the Lana Club, with my wine and monitor everybody who was going in the meeting. That's not a parent. That's not a friend. That's not a neighbor. Drink and do that so that you wouldn't, because I was important, you know, and people can't know who I am and that I'm having struggles and having a hard time. So what ended up happening is he was the conduit, or he was the catalyst to getting me into the rooms, although I still needed to drink for 3 more years and 3 years hard. I had to have a very, very public disaster of a last drunk, and it happened to be as a public administrator in schools. We had a conference, and I drank into a blackout and basically cussed out my superintendent, bosses, board of education, all that, in very indiscreet clothing. And that's a whole nother story. Some of the ladies that are here tonight that have heard my story, yeah, that's a winner. And so I was in my pajamas because we were all told that we were supposed to dress in something casual. So I came back down to the lobby in a blackout in my Vickies. And so anyway, it just was a terrible situation. But that's what it took. It took a train wreck for a train wreck to come off the tracks and to actually get seek help. So what is it like now? My stuff is out there. I'm transparent because I had to be because of that situation. I had no choice, and it had to be that way for me, for this one, because I lived a lie, and I don't know how it got that way, and I don't know why I was motivated that way, but it happened. And I continued to live the lie until the game was up. The game was up. So now I live very transparently. I carry on a very positive, healthy relationship, I believe, and I'm probably overly transparent. Sorry for all the things that I put out there on us, but my partner is here tonight, and you know what? I get to have a relationship. I get to have friends that are transparent and be in a job that I feel is very rewarding because I can give back to so much more than what I was giving back before, which was just getting through the day, and not driving through the liquor store. And then finally, I still do the things that my sponsor asked me to do at the very beginning. I go to meetings. I sponsor women. My sponsor has a sponsor. I read On Awakening in the mornings. I ask God to direct my thinking, have it being divorced from self-pity. Although I'm very good at having pity parties, I'm still working on that. I believe in the program so much. I love it because of the unity, the service, and the recovery. Those three things my sponsor told me about, the triangle, if you don't have all three and it's a stool and one of those legs goes away, then your program fails. So I work hard on that. I work through H&I as well, and I'm glad to be in these rooms with people like Kirk and people like you because I need to hear what you have to say, because this past week, a little bit of a train wreck. I didn't get my way, and things can fall off very quickly, but I really appreciate and love this program. So if you're new, just keep coming back, keep putting your hand up, and today I still chase the newcomer because that's part of what I was told to do, and that's working for me. Thank you for letting me share.